everybody.
This is Y'all Heard.
Yep, it is.
A podcast where me, Marissa Phillips,
and me, Pete Phillips, pose as two right jolly old elves, and we pay you a visit to leave some gifts of awareness and understanding beneath your tree, or menorah, or other holiday totem, so that when you wake up in the morning, you're smarter and more attractive to everyone around you.
In other words, we tell you things you didn't know you needed to know, like that.
Oh, I had a lot of faces on that one.
We're not related.
Yeah.
That's all we say, right?
I think so. We're not related. You're Marissa, I'm Pete. Something stupid that I say, you say catchphrase. Cool, we got it.
We're not going to do how was your week, but I have a news alert for you.
Beep, 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 news
alert. Next time you do a podcast would be the week after Christmas? Is that it?
I think we'll have to talk about that.
Okay. Anyway, our devoted listener, Juan, is staying with me now a bunch of days.
Okay.
So maybe we can have Juan.
You just met permanently.
No.
And then he just walks behind you.
From the 28th through the 2nd.
Very nice.
Icebreaker.
Icebreaker time. What is your favorite Christmas? I don't want it to be so similar to the other one, but this is what I had in mind. What is your favorite Christmas movie, and you need to explain exactly why?
My gut is to immediately go right for the Muppet Christmas Carol.
Mm-hmm.
I got nostalgia going on. I still laugh at stuff. Like, you have that familiarity where you know some of the lines.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably the one that I've seen the most. You know, I'm inclined to go with that. Plus, my mom still hates it, which is kind of crazy. She seems to hate all the, like, holiday-related movies. Because, like, when A Christmas Story comes on, too, she's like, ugh, this again.
I've never seen that.
Yeah.
I want to say that I forgot, when you asked the question last episode, that Edward Scissorhands is also one of my favorite tangentially related to Christmas movies.
Yeah. I wasn't quite sure about that one.
Yeah. I think it's on Christmas that, they try to kill him, yeah. Mine used to be, still is, but like one of my favorites, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Mm-hmm. It's a good one.
Then as of this year, it was like, oh my gosh, A Medea Christmas is definitely something I'm going to see every Christmas. But as of yesterday, Neo-Yokio, A Pink Christmas is my favorite. It's an anime.
You better give us more details than you did in the last episode.
I know. So the plot is not...
I hear it's got great music.
It does have really great music. So the plot is about... So Neo-Yokio is a fictionalized version of New York City filled with aristocrats. And the plot is that the top five bachelors in Neo-Yokio are going to have a televised Secret Santa competition to see who could out Secret Santa the other people. So they're all just trying to buy the most lavish gifts imaginable.
And you said aristocrats?
No, aristocrats.
Oh.
But then somehow demons come into play. And most importantly, gigantic Toblerones just keep showing up so many times.
If you follow Marissa on Instagram, this will explain quite a bit.
Oh my gosh, I was so obsessed. I had to make myself a custom gigantic Toblerone shirt yesterday. I was considering making myself a Toblerone bathing suit. I forgot that in the precursor to this Christmas episode, there was a quote where the guy says, I had a dream something bad happened to a Toblerone, and that Toblerone was you? Like, what? Oh, God, you just got to watch the Christmas episode for the Toblerones. I googled how much it would cost to buy a gigantic Toblerone. Apparently $130, and it weighs 10 pounds. I don't have that kind of money.
No.
Also, I can't eat it.
Yeah, so, I'd hope.
Yeah, so I think I will like it in Christmas Futures because it's so absurd. It's the most absurd Christmas special I have ever seen in my entire life. Okay, so let's get to it. Pedo.
Marissa's big into the absurd.
I am. Oh, this makes my life worth living. Nothing
so,
else.
So, I am Pedo, and I'm here to get into it.
Pete-O, not like pedo.
Oh, thanks for saying I'm not a pedo. Or as the British say,
pedo. I wasn't calling you a pedo. Okay, go ahead.
So, yeah, it's the holidays. So, my invitation, how about at this point, starting at this point, find the youngest people around you and bring them close together so that they can be new listeners of our show.
Because bring them we're, close together. Like huddle them up.
Like, so close they're afraid of why they're this close.
Cock their heads real hard together.
No, not real hard. Just lightly, though.
Yeah, okay.
That was whoop, coconut.
Whoop,
because we're going to talk about Santa.
Stop.
Recently, a coworker of mine was made out to be a bit of a Scrooge on the Fox News channel, which I don't watch, because he doesn't believe in Santa Claus, and he thinks that kids shouldn't either.
I'm sorry. One of your coworkers was made out to be a Scrooge by the Fox News channel?
Yes. He was, like, on a show.
Your coworker was on Fox News?
Yes.
Who?
A professor who writes about how he believes that Santa Claus doesn't exist, and he doesn't think the kids should believe it either.
Oh, I have an amazing book that I'm going to plug at the end of this.
The core focus of this guy's belief, though, Dr. Kyle Johnson, is we're all entitled to our own beliefs, and we can follow up with those by taking whatever actions we think, you know, correspond with those. But let's be real, guys. Santa Claus is real.
My parents raised me to never believe in Santa Claus. I would just put that out there. They wanted all the credit for the presents they bought me. They never.
Well, that's just because your parents are monsters.
No,
Santa's real.
But they had me believe in the three kings coming to my room on January 6th to give me presents.
We
continue.
All know, including Marissa's parents who lied to her, that Santa Claus is real. The thing is, we just don't know how he does all the things that he does.
We just don't know how real.
So I want to throw out a few scientific hypotheses today about how Santa rides that great big sleigh around the world
in the sky
and gives presents to kids. So the first question that everybody comes up with is, how does Santa Claus visit an alleged 2 billion kids across the world in one night? The obvious answer is time travel via the theory of relativity, and that Santa's sleigh is equipped with a clock that ticks a little bit slower than the rest of the world's clock, which gives him all the time that he could possibly need to travel the world in one night.
Oh, yeah.
See?
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear that, guys? Oh, yeah. She's like, that sounds far-fetched, right?
No, oh, yeah.
It does. Because it's more likely that his sled travels at warp speeds. Many think that this is inspired by science fiction, but I think the opposite could be true. What if science fiction was inspired by Santa?
I wish you warned me about this.
With warp speeds, Santa could make use of wormholes, which would give him a clean slate to do whatever he wants, honestly, because he would have all the time beyond the universe.
So he could commit crimes?
Whatever he wants. Like, visit people's houses and leave them presents, Marissa.
And commit crimes.
And to us, it would only be overnight.
I'm sorry. I can't help. I gotta stop myself from commenting. I'm sorry. I'll stop
That's what you're here for.
Okay.
You're just ruining those sweet children who are a one huddled mass.
Around
the speakers.
Like a rat king. We have children in a rat king listening.
Yep, a rat kid.
Rat king.
Yeah,
you
know
what rat king is, right?
I was saying a rat kid, though.
Oh, I like that.
So, wormholes would also not cause the sonic boom, right? Because a lot of people are like, if Santa's traveling... Yeah, a lot of people are like, if Santa's traveling so fast, why don't we hear a sonic boom? Well, if he's using wormholes, we wouldn't need the sonic boom. We wouldn't hear the sonic booms. Like, if we went with speeds, he would have to travel over 1,200 miles per hour in order to travel the world.
Where did you get this information?
With wormholes, there's really no need. Though you could also protest to your friends who say that you're stupid for believing in Santa Claus, and you could say, you know, that there are many applications used to reduce sonic booms these days, not the least of which is utilizing anti-sound, which comes up with the opposite of what a sonic boom would sound like, and if you play it while you hit a sonic boom, then the noises cancel each other out, and you don't even hear that it happened, which I think...
But applications?
Is pretty interesting.
You mean apps on your phone?
No.
Just double check.
Santa's way beyond apps for your phone, Marissa.
Okay.
She looked so mad. Marissa, you've seen The Grinch, right?
Yeah. Just the cartoon, not the weird.
Good, good. That's why you can still sleep at night.
Not the weird duty.
So, remember that part where he takes all the things from Whoville and he's on top of the mountain and he's in the sled and it's got like this big sack on the back and it's like teetering?
Yeah.
That's a lot of stuff, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that's only Whoville. So, how could Santa fit all these gifts in his sleigh and travel around the world with it?
Compression.
No, that's a good idea, though. Nanomachines. No. You know.
Oh, where did you... I want resources. I want a bibliography.
Nanomachines are millionths of a millimeter. And if you get enough of them working together, you could build a present for you. I'm sorry, you wouldn't build a present for you. Santa would build the present for you. You don't have access to nanomachines. So Santa would build a present for you.
For yourself.
Really, really easily. He just needs to carry the nanomachines with him and not your presents.
Okay, yeah.
Because he makes your presents on site in your house. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, if he's making presents in my house, why don't I hear it? Why don't I catch him? Wormholes, guys. Wormholes.
No, he's canceling headphones.
So the nanomachines make the presents on spec right in your house. And even if you stay up to watch for him, you're not going to catch him.
No. I don't like that one.
Roger Highfield is the author of this article that I'm working from. He is the external director, I believe, of a website called The Science Museum. He has a book on this topic, and it explains Rudolph's red nose as well. The traditional story is cute and everything, but the red nose actually comes from a workplace injury because...
Rosacea.
Going so quickly, Rudolph probably burned his nose a little
that
bit.
That is very mean.
Right, because he's in the front, you know? And so, like, you get enough friction from going really fast, and then his nose would heat up, and it would probably burn a little bit. It's intense, if you think about it.
His eyes would probably be red, too.
Well, he could close them. I could hear your sweet little voices right now, speaking at your headphones. You're saying, but Santa must be so old. He's been at this for so long.
I like thinking that instead of nanomachines, that he has a wormhole in the bottom of his bag.
Yeah.
Just pulling presents from another dimension.
I mean, that doesn't make any sense, but sure.
Oh, I'm sorry. Nanomachines make all the sense in the world. Fine. I'm sorry. Not a wormhole, a portal.
Yeah, I like it.
I don't know what the hell a wormhole is.
There's a significant part of me, but when I hear you complaining that Santa must be so old and how could he be doing this and blah, blah,
Who?
Blah,
Who's
part of me, part of me wants you to Google Dread Pirate Roberts, but it may be too soon since you're such young, young little listeners. Maybe too soon for you to watch The Princess Bride. I watched it too early in my life and those little like monsters in the woods scared the crap out of me for a really long time. So I wouldn't recommend it if you're really, really young, but
I never saw it. By the way, the lead actor aged very well.
So let's go with another path. The wormhole idea goes a long way because if utilizing wormholes correctly, you're basically cutting holes in space and time to get yourself around the world. You could kind of age much faster that way if you wanted to, but you could also age a lot slower if you do it right. So think about it. A committed jolly elf like Santa could cut through the 360-ish days that we live so that he can hop into next year, right? So after Christmas is over, he just advances to next Christmas and then continues. So he hasn't really been alive for as long as you think he's been alive.
That sounds like a rough life.
It does. It sounds like a life of service, one where you give up everything that's important to you to give back to the world.
Yeah.
So it's kind of complicated for a kid to think about this, but it's like if you were watching a video online and you speed it up and you slow it down at parts, you know? The video is still this, you know, set amount of minutes or seconds, but you're just speeding up certain parts and skipping them. So yeah, you know, it's worth thinking about, right, kids?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
With that in mind too, he will have lived long enough at this point to reach our current CRISPR status, where we can just edit genetic code like we edit a Word document.
You say CRISPR?
and we could talk about that in another episode.
I don't want
to. Now, this concludes the information that I took from sciencemuseum.co.uk. It's important to mention that because the rest of these ideas come from me, this guy. Okay. All this to say, theoretically, Santa could exist, right? Kids, theoretically is a word that's very annoying when it's applied to something that you want to be real. It means that if every single thing that needed to happen to make something real did happen to take place, like the wormholes and the sonic boom suppression, then it could maybe actually be real. But it's hard to believe that all the stars align like that and make all of these unlikely things possible. But then again, if you look up at the stars at Christmas, you might see Santa in them.
Ooh!
This time last year, MUFON collected 740 UFO sightings in December.
I love
MUFON. Is the Mutual UFO Network, if you are not familiar. They collect a variety of reported sightings. While the number of sightings were discs and triangles, the most reported shape was a sphere, like a basketball. And what would you do if you had a basketball, kids?
Throw it in.
Right, you would throw it at a hoop. And what is a hoop, kind of? It's kind of like a hole, right? Almost like a wormhole?
Oh.
And let's not forget that we have seen Santas around town, but they're all based on the historical accounts and legends of Saint Nicholas. What if we actually don't know what Santa looks like at all?
What if Santa's
because he's so good.
Right?
He's so
he's
good
gray?
At staying out of sight.
What
aliens are also good at staying out of sight, kids. That's right. Marissa already ruined it. Santa is real and he's an alien.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's the clearest way if you consider all the options. Think about it, everybody. He's unseen, he's older than any of us can live, he travels at extreme speeds or in unknown ways, he has millions of micro-robots making toys on site, and he's jolly. Even if you had all those things, you wouldn't be in a good mood on Earth.
Yeah.
But if you were an alien, I think you could pull it all off.
Or he's a ghost.
That's great. Yeah. Santa's a dead ghost, kids. That's what Marissa wants you to think.
An undead ghost. Or is it
Santa's a zombie, kids. That's what Marissa wants you to think.
Fine.
Not only that, but there's something that you may have heard about on the news, maybe from your parents. And if they're responsible adults who talk to you about the scariest part of your future, then you already know about this. It's a thing called climate change, and it has to do with the weather. And we won't get into the parts that you have to worry about, but boy, do you have a lot of worrying to do about your future. You have some years of ignorant bliss to get through first, but boy, is this really going to bite you all in the ass. Part of climate change is melting ice caps and a warming North Pole. The North Pole is where we know, air quote, Santa lives and works. But what if we just call it the North Pole because it's just like the North Pole? It's hard to get to. It's very cold. It's surrounded by snow and ice. Do you know what else is, Marissa?
Narnia.
According to the University of Warwick's Center for Exoplanets and Habitability, the moons of Saturn, like Enceladus, fit this description.
Also, Narnia. Saturn, but yes.
Saturn is the sixth planet from the sun, kids. Earth is the third, in case you were wondering. And it has more than one moon, too. It has 62 moons. So that means Santa has a lot of places to hide if you really think about it long enough. Now, you older kids might have some gripes that you're calling out right now. One time I discovered my parents' stash of Christmas presents that were all allegedly from Santa. Or like, mall Santas don't look like aliens, so what are you talking about, you crackhead old man? Or, my parents eat the cookies I leave out for Santa because I can smell the milk on their dirty breath in the morning.
That's disgusting. Don't say that. That's disgusting. I feel sick.
But to the rest of you, I'll say this. Of course, your parents are buying you presents, Marissa. Yours, too. They love you. And they're keeping it a secret and, like, saying that Santa's responsible for all of these because they want you to believe in the magic of Christmas and Santa and Rudolph and Frosty and all that fun stuff. They want you to be young and naive for as long as you can.
Yeah, I'll buy that.
So they go out, they buy you presents, they say that they're from Santa, but that's not all of the presents are from Santa. You will have at least one present from Santa under your tree. And if your parents don't eat the cookies or carrots that you leave behind for Santa and the reindeers, please know that Santa is actually taking them back to his moon base outside of Saturn because he needs to eat something on that barren tundra of a landscape. They can't grow food there, okay? So a few cookies times 2 billion kids, I think he's going to be pretty good. he won't mind if your parents do have some of the cookies and drink the milk.
What is the age cutoff where Santa gives you presents?
He still does, Marissa. You just don't know.
But how about if someone lives alone and they buy themselves presents?
Poop.
I don't know what that means. I mean, I know what poop means. I don't know the context.
Do you know how it got into your body? We're not going to do this.
Okay.
The next time you're on the playground or wherever you play with apps on your phone because you're a kid who has no creativity because of the world around you, and some jerk of a kid comes up to you and tells you that Santa Claus isn't real, I want you to practice this line, have your parents play this back a few times. Can you prove to me that Santa isn't an extraterrestrial being that utilizes the most recent discoveries in quantum physics, nanotechnology, and maybe even genetic coding? And then you should probably prepare yourself for some trouble, because even in adulthood, bullies really don't like it when you make them look stupid in front of other people. And even if you can't run fast enough, you'll at least be getting beaten up with the comfort that you were right, and that that kid who's beating you up can't believe in the magical possibilities of this world and beyond like you can.
I like that.
So Merry Christmas, everybody.
Yay.
I knew you would really like the part about milky breath, too.
Oh, it's disgusting. It's going to haunt me. I'm not joking. It's gross.
So, Marissa, it seems that at a few points in the program here, you dissented a bit. So would you like to tell us why you believe Santa is real? You like how I switched that question around on you? Just remember, kids are listening. That's all.
It's actually one of the three kings before all you non-Hispanics that don't celebrate Three Kings Day. One of the three kings dresses up like your Caucasian idol. Yes?
That's a new show.
Yeah, that decides to humor all of you with presents. So that is Santa.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense to me.
Yep.
Any fun traditions you want to share with the audience before we finish up the show?
My family's traditions?
Yeah, what's a fun tradition that maybe you do or you haven't done in a while and you're like, oh, I wish you did that again.
I wish every year I would make a gingerbread house with my family. 2 years ago, we all competed to see whose gingerbread house was the best, and we had people on Facebook vote. I think I won. I don't remember. Or my brother. No, not vote on who's the best. We had everyone guess whose was whose. Okay. Also, I don't know if you guys know, but a lot of Hispanic people don't celebrate Christmas. They celebrate Christmas Eve. And they wait until it's midnight, so technically Christmas, then open all their presents, then on Christmas Day, nobody cares. I like that tradition. Oh, my favorite Christmas tradition, this is my own tradition, and it's also my plug.
Plugs.
Every December, I try to read this book. It's a very short book. You could read it in one day, or you could just read little bits and pieces when you're bored. I don't know who the audience is, because it's silly. And it's kid-friendly, but if I recall right, it's like elevated language and absurd. My favorite book for this time of year is called Santa Lives, Five Conclusive Arguments for the Existence of Santa Claus. So it fits right with yours. It is by Ellis Wiener. So I recommend that. You could get the tiny hardcover for $15 or get it on your Kindle for $5. This is very silly and very fun. So that's my favorite Christmas tradition.
Do you think I was silly today, or?
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
I don't have necessarily anything to plug, but I would like to plug having a Merry Christmas. I would like to plug, if you don't celebrate Christmas, having like a great few days off, hopefully.
Yeah.
There's a song that I like by a band called The Diamond Rugs, and it's called, I think it's called I Had Chinese Food for Christmas, and I'm kind of jealous of it, and I kind of wish I was having Chinese food on Christmas. Not that my mom's food isn't going to be very good as well, but...
Honestly, I wish I could, too. Now that the food I eat is not good, but... So Merry Christmas, everybody!
Ho, ho, ho!
Ho, ho, ho! Bye!
Bye! Yeah. Bye. If there's a movie that you've heard of but don't really feel like watching because it looks like it could be bad, but something about it made it seem like you could watch it, maybe, but you really can't see yourself watching it, then you need Pete. It's time for Pete Ruins a Movie. Oh boy, I am back to ruin a movie. And this movie I thought was going to be really easy to ruin. It's called All I Didn't Want for Christmas. Except it turned out to be kind of enjoyable. When I set out to ruin a movie, I don't usually try to ruin something that I would recommend, but I gotta tell you, if you're in the right mood and you're like decorating the house, drinking, just chilling out with loved ones, this is kind of a fun movie to watch. So I'm gonna give you the first few moments of the movie so that you can understand where it's coming from at the start.
Everybody's in a hurry.
Ah, Christmas.
Shopping to the dropping.
The most magical time of the year.
Dogs are barking.
A truly wondrous time. A time when all our wishes come true. In fairy tale land. This isn't a fairy tale. And Christmas is a horseshit holiday that makes us all feel like crap and reminds us of what's wrong in our lives.
I really like how the hip-hop beat kicks in. And you guys can't see this, but it kicks in when the Santa, who is ringing a bell at a Salvation Army collection bucket, reaches in and takes the $10 that someone just put in there. So that is where we start. And let me tell you just the summary of what this movie is about, because I was like, oh, that's going to be so dumb. I can't wait to cover it. It is a story about Emily, who is played by Gabby Sidibe. And you know her basically from American Horror Story, et cetera, et cetera. But most of us, I think, would go, oh, that's Precious from the movie Precious. And there's another person starring in this movie that I didn't quite know was there. And I'm going to save that for a little bit longer. There's also a woman named Karen Knox. She plays a bully slash best friend. And she was in a movie, a sci-fi original movie from last year or the year before. And that was called Satan Claus. So she exists in here as well. We also have Loretta Devine, which I don't know where I know her, but her voice is just like truly remarkably unmissable. And now I'm ready to tell you the, I know I told you I was going to tell you what it's about. Now I'm just telling you who's in it, but I need to tell you that, there is a guy in the movie. He plays an elf named Wolf. And I didn't recognize him until I read his name on IMDb about 15 minutes into the movie. It's Kel Mitchell from Kenan and Kel. And he does a really good, like, I remember seeing Kel Mitchell play people in movies and going, oh, that's Kel Mitchell playing Kel Mitchell in this movie. I thought he did a great job in this movie by not being so all that. So as I promised, back to the plot of the movie. Emily, who is our lead character, she wants all these different things from life, but for some reason or another, and it really just seems to come down to anxiety, but she can't seem to close the deal on a lot of the things or advocate for herself in a lot of ways. And so she, because she's not getting the things that she wants, she drinks a lot at her holiday Christmas party at work. And then she goes and writes a letter to Santa and puts it in the mailbox that all the kids are putting their letters to Santa. Now, you know, cathartic, sure, but she doesn't realize that her wishes are gonna come true. And she made 8 wishes in that letter. And she was drunk, so she doesn't remember what any of the wishes are. I don't remember where I read the capsule description for the movie. That was probably much more succinct than what I gave you. But I was like, oh my god, that sounds amazing. I can't wait to watch that. So, the 8 wishes that she makes are, 1, to be closer to her mom. She makes a wish to be closer to her mom, but Santa's a bit of a trickster, and he makes her physically closer to her mom. That's right, she doesn't wake up in her New York apartment. She wakes up in her childhood bedroom. And this is where I'll tell you, too, that she is a producer for a radio station in New York City, I believe. If it's not New York City, it's a big city. And she really wants a show of her own. There's actually multiple times in the movie where she picks up an inanimate object like a brush or a bottle and talks into it as if she were hosting and narrating via a radio show. But she can't quite get that spot because her boss is kind of self-absorbed. He's leaving and he gets to pick his successor, but in defense of the boss, he doesn't even know that she wants a show. And so it's not a surprise that she doesn't get his time slot when he decides to pick somebody else, who, yes, for all intents and purposes, is smaller, white, and prettier. The second thing that she wishes for is all of the Nogtinis she could ever have. A Nogtini is an eggnog martini, I guess. And this is one of the fun parts of the movies, because everywhere she goes, somebody hands her a Nogtini, all the way down to her mom giving her one that's in like one of those giant novelty glasses that you kind of put flowers in, not really, serve a martini in. She also wishes that Janice would take a flying leap. Now, I don't know what that means when she wrote that down, but what happens is she gets somehow injured by flying off of a reindeer. And so that is unfortunate, but it does open up the spot at the radio station, except in this new life, she doesn't work at the radio station, so she can't take the job. Anyway, she also wishes that she was the queen of something related to dance. Now, in her youth, she was traumatized. I'll get to this in a minute. She was traumatized at some sort of dance recital. So maybe she just wanted to be like a dancing queen, but now every time the word queen comes up in conversation, or maybe it just comes out of her mouth, everybody around her starts dancing, and I think that's very fun. Oh, and they won't stop dancing until she starts dancing. She also asks for Chet Charles to be obsessed with her. Chet Charles was like the popular good-looking man in high school, but she literally says to be obsessed with me. And so he is, and that's not what she wanted at all. She also says that she wants to be a boss-ass bitch. And so I mentioned she doesn't work at the radio station in this life. She actually works at a place called Boss-Ass Bitchmas. And it's a store that sells ornaments. I don't even know if it counts as a store. It looks like a stand in a like holiday market. She also says that she wants a BFF, which I think is unfortunate because she works with a lady who's really nice to her and is really encouraging. And I was like, hey, how come she's just not your BFF? You know, all you got to do is throw the label on her. She doesn't need to consent. Instead, though, she gets partnered with Ginger, who is played by Karen Knox from Satan Claus. She is an old best friend from high school who betrayed her. And she betrayed her at a dance recital when they were kids. And basically she said, the rest of the team doesn't want you to dance with us because you're getting fat. And, you know, that's going to be jarring and scarring. And so she can get along with her, and they do have like a good shorthand, I guess. They know each other really well. But the problem is she deeply resents her BFF. And the last thing that she asks for is all the fruitcake in the world, which somehow is interpreted by Santa Claus to mean that everything in the world will turn into fruitcake. And Wolf outlines the rules that if she doesn't change her ways and become more in tune with the Christmas spirit by midnight on Christmas Eve, then her eighth wish will come true and the world will turn into fruitcake. In fact, through the duration of the movie, different things are turning into fruitcake, and that's kind of also funny to watch. A couple of other things notable in the movie, Wolf is an elf, and he evidently emits some sort of elf pheromones that drive the ladies wild, and Ginger becomes sexually obsessed, I suppose, with Wolf. Wolf also has a sit-down dinner with Emily's mom, in which he tries to sort of counsel her into being more understanding and just, you know, like, I don't want to say a better parent, just like a better person to listen to people and all that sort of kind things that you do when you love somebody. but her mom is more obsessed with Christmas trees and winning the town Christmas tree contest than anything having to do with her daughter. The Christmas tree contest seems a little confusing to me, but I think that what it means is individual judges will come into each contestant's house and judge the Christmas trees that they have. In this case, Lorraine, the mother, has three Christmas trees in her house, and then there's an extra one in the husband's office that nobody ever sees. So after Emily accepts the situation, which takes a little bit of time, she tries to almost sort of give in, I guess, to what she has to do. She tries to get closer to her mom by bonding with her over decorating the precious Christmas trees, except the mom doesn't want to use the decorations that she picked out.
Hey, Mom. Oh, Emily. Oh, I'm so glad you're here. I want you to help me apply that gold leaf to the Nutcracker doll.
Yeah, I got you. But actually, I wanted to show you something. So I went down to the shop, and I got you a bunch of, you know, really cute but traditional ornaments. But I think we both know that what you really need is a showstopper. So I found something that your girl Platinum over here would really appreciate. And I want to warn you, it can be seen as a little edgy. But edgy is in right now. Trust me. So, bam! Isn't he cute? He's a little merman!
Yeah.
I was thinking that he would go great right in that middle space.
So Platinum is actually like the A++ tree that Lorraine is ready to show. And she has said before that she needs like a show-stopping piece to be right in the middle of the tree. But a merman holding a sign that says, "Who's your daddy?" is not what she was expecting. Emily also seems to do pretty well with the guys. It's just that she can't seem to close the deal on romantic situations. She sort of flirts with the IT guy at her Christmas party, and they end up under the mistletoe, and he seems like he's going to kiss her, but she sort of backs away. And she does the same thing with her new love interest in this new life that she lives, who is named Wyatt. Wyatt Snowman.
So who are you?
I'm Wyatt Snowman, age 31, Scorpio, Leo, moon rising, obviously. Originally of Glen Ridge, New Jersey, go Panthers. Currently residing in Manhattan, part owner of a few bars, including this old gem in the old hometown.
Okay, so I stopped listening after you said Scorpio, because I know that Scorpios are kinky.
Well, yeah.
And,
Sting.
The flirting goes really well whenever she seems to talk to a guy that she's romantically interested in. But as with the IT guy at work, she also suffers from some sort of stage fright when it comes to Wyatt. Also, Wyatt is a bartender. And like you just heard, he owns a few bars. So he's not just a bartender or a guy who delivers booze. But that's all that Lorraine sees him as. Chet Charles, on the other hand, who the mom likes, is a dentist. And honestly, she likes him because he's a dentist. But he also plays the ukulele, which is off-putting, just in general. In the end, the climax of the movie happens at the big Christmas party where the judges come to judge the Christmas trees. And even though Emily is supposed to maybe grow softer and rediscover her love of the holidays, she kind of just loses her shit.
No, no martini.
Lower your voice. Everyone's watching.
No, Lorraine, you need to answer me.
You're my daughter. I love you.
But do you like me? My dress is too tight. I make too many jokes. I eat too many canapés. What do you actually like about me?
No, it's not the time or the place, young lady.
I have actually just wasted so much time letting everyone walk all over me. My friends, my mom, the radio station, but enough! Have you ever once thought about what it was like for me to be your daughter, Mrs. Perfect? What it's like for me to exist while everyone around me makes me feel like I don't even deserve to love myself because of the ass backwards way that this world judges women. And every comment you make just brings me right back to being that shy and insecure little girl from freshman year.
Maybe it's all the eggnog teenies, but she goes from bonkers level, almost like Nicole Byer kooky in this movie,
to that dramatic read of the moment where she finally stands up for herself and puts her mother in her place. And yeah, the part about the backwards-ass society and how they view women is shoehorned in there, but it's also really relevant, so who cares? And after freaking out, she goes to bed and wakes up in her childhood bedroom, panicked that she didn't learn her lesson and that she's still stuck in this crazy world.
Am I gonna turn into fruitcake? Oh my god, that is a terrible way to die. Why would I write that?
Emily, it worked.
You sure?
Yeah. I mean, I like to think that I could take a little bit of the credit, but you did it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, like, look, your job, the apartment, your cat, it's all back. And no one's the wiser. Yeah, and now you just know how to ask for what you need. And maybe, just maybe, you hate Christmas just a little less.
Aww. Isn't that sweet? So she learns her lesson, but we don't have to go through some sort of bullshit Charles Dickens Scrooge Ghosts of Christmas whatever time situation. And I really appreciate that because there's so many knockoffs of that story. And they're there for a reason, I understand that. But I also really liked how this movie did so many different and beneficial things. There are a few hints at body image early in the movie, but it's not sort of like an overarching thing that really beats you in the face. It's not like, hey, look at this woman. Her body doesn't match what you would, you know, consider attractive. And so, you know, like I said, every single guy she flirts with flirts back. And, you know, she seems to get someplace with each one of them. And so, I really appreciated how they didn't really make that so obvious. I also liked how they took the idea of the large, boisterous person, and they also, you know, put that up against, you know, that projection, I guess, up against the mother, you know, like, stop making me feel like an idiot for being funny and having a voice and everything like that. And all of this happens under the umbrella of Christmas. We also learn a little bit about some Santa's elf workshop that exists with a soul-saving department, and that is who Wolf worked for. So I gotta tell you guys, I went into this one really hoping I could make fun of a lot of things, but I can't. I thought this was great. And I think that if you have VH1 or you have like some sort of on-demand thing that has VH1, you should give it a shot. It's called All I Didn't Want for Christmas, and I applaud the writing team of Noelle Stamen and Betsy Von Stone. It's a genuinely funny movie in a lot of parts, and the parts where it's kind of like corny funny, if you just let those pass by, then you'll really find yourself laughing at least a few parts during this movie. There is only one review on IMDb for this movie right now, and there's not a trailer that exists for it either, otherwise I would have covered it on Pete's Previews first. It's an 8 out of 10 star review, and it says, what a wonderful surprise. I didn't expect much from this movie, but was happily surprised. Great story with great actors. A true happy Christmas movie. I laughed, I awed, I danced, and my heart was happy. I recommend this to anyone out there to watch, a fresh take on the typical Christmas movie. And that's from Living Colored Duct Tape, which is, maybe I should have read that name first. Anyway, Merry Christmas, and I hope that you get the opportunity to watch this movie. It is a VH1 original movie, so you could certainly scour VH1 to see when it's going to be played again, or maybe you have some sort of on-demand feature with your cable company that allows you to watch VH1 on demand, though I couldn't imagine what is in a VH1 on-demand catalog. I didn't give everything away. Like, there are some parts in the middle where there's some green screen animation that seemed very out of place, but was also one of those moments you kind of just have to let go by. Anyway, bye.